If you've ever been in a situation where you really suffered from an identity crisis, as I did as a young man for a number of years, you will understand the pain of all of that. Because one of the things you do when you are going through an identity crisis is that basically you'll be floundering. Sometimes on the outside, everything outwardly looks great and looks all right. Nobody can suspect a thing, but inwardly, you don't know who you are. In fact, I remembered this story when I think of those times when I was going through my identity crisis, of how Charlie Brown felt about his identity crisis. And one day he said to Linus, he said, "You know, Linus, it all began way back in the beginning." He said, "The moment I was born and I put my foot on the stage of life, they took a look at me and said, 'Not right for the part.'" Not right for the part. I think you'd be amazed to know how many people, millions of people, who are not feeling not right for the part. Even Alvin Toffler once said, "Millions of people are desperately seeking their missing identity." Listen to me carefully, please. There is no excuse for a born-again believer who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, who follows Him every day, who walks with Him every day, to have an identity crisis. If you understand the blessings that you have in Jesus Christ, these blessings ought to define your identity. And that's exactly what the Apostle Peter is saying here, beginning at verse 4 of chapter 2, that out of God's goodness, out of God's mercy, out of God's grace, out of God's abundance, we are given our identity. We have no reason, we have no excuse for floundering in the Christian life. I know there are some people who see their identity in their family name. There are men particularly who see their identity in their achievements. They see their identity in their success. They see their identity in the statement of their net worth. There are women and wives who see their identity in their husbands. There are some teenagers who see their identity in their parents, although not when they're going through the teen years. Hopefully later on. But Peter is saying here what he's telling us, that our true identity as believers in Jesus Christ comes from what Jesus did for us. It comes from what Jesus did with us. Because we were nothing and He made us everything. Look at verse 4, please, of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. He said, "As you come to Him," as you come to Christ. What does he mean by that? He is saying that before you came to Christ, you were a nobody as far as heaven was concerned. Before you came to Christ, you were worse than a nobody. Before you came to Christ, you had no spiritual identity to speak of. You live and then you die, and that's the end of it. But he said, "We were dead stones. Then Jesus, the cornerstone, quickened us and made us precious living stones." And what Peter is saying is that we have basically six characteristics of our identity as believers in Jesus Christ. Six. First, he tells us that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a precious living stone. Second identity is that we are the chosen people. He says we are a chosen race. Thirdly, our identity is that we are a royal priesthood. Fourthly, he said, we are a holy nation. Fifthly, he said, we are God's own possession, God's own people. And finally, he says, we are basically tourists in this world. Let's look at those one by one. We are living precious stones. The only reason believers in Jesus Christ can be called precious stones, only one reason and one reason only, is that because of the cornerstone himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Peter does. He sees the believers as a magnificent building. The whole building stands or falls depending on the strength of the cornerstone of that foundation of stone. The cornerstone was always laid in the intersection of the corner, and the other foundation stones were placed alongside of it. As a building, Peter is saying, and this is a figure of speech, just stretch your mind a little bit. He said, as a building would go up, stones of the buildings are placed in relationship to the cornerstone. Well, how many inches is that stone going to be in relationship to the cornerstone? Every stone had a relationship with each other, but mostly a relationship with the cornerstone of that foundation. You notice that he did not say, we are a building of bricks. The reason he said you're not bricks, at least to my way of thinking, is that because all the bricks look alike. Bricks have the same shape. The reason for the Peter saying that is because God does not mass produce his children. Nor does he expect us to perform the same tasks. He has given us different measures of faith. He has given us different spiritual gifts. And therefore, what God expects from me, not necessarily what he's expecting from you, as long as we both are faithful. Because each stone is different from the other. Each stone is distinguished from the other. Each stone is different in shape. Each stone is different in dimension. And that's what Peter's trying to tell us here. All of the stones are made to fit in the building. And you know what? I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. Because of that, there are some Christians who stay away from the building. Because of that, some Christians don't want to get too close to other Christians because they know they have to fit in the building. And that is why some Christians don't want to be active part of the church. And that is why some Christians refuse to fit in the rightful place of service and ministry. And that is why some Christians minimize their contact with other stones. And indeed, they minimize their contact even with the cornerstone. But listen to me, that is the height of selfishness. You know why? Because their absence, like a missing stone in a wall, creates a draft. And it makes a building less efficient. It makes a building ineffective as it could be when all of the stones are there working, serving the purpose of God. Ask yourself today, am I a good, precious living stone? Am I a living stone who is willing to be placed where the master builder wants me to be placed? Am I a living stone who is in my place of service, in my place of ministry, or I am carelessly letting somebody else bear the load, letting some other stones carry the weight? Am I that precious living stone? Because that's where your identity is. That's where our identity is. First identity is that we are precious living stones. The second identity, Peter said, is that we are the chosen race. We are a chosen race. Now, this, of course, was a term that in the Old Testament applied to Israel as a nation. Chosen people, chosen race. And here the Apostle Peter, who lived and walked with Jesus for 3 1/3 of a year at least, he can lift up that same description that was applied to Israel, and he applies it to the church of Jesus Christ, the new Israel of God. When the Israelites rejected God's chosen Messiah, when the Israelites rejected God's cornerstone, they were put aside. And now Peter's saying that he has chosen everyone who turned their life to the Messiah and believe in him to be his or her cornerstone. That's what he's saying here. Read it and read it carefully. And therefore, the chosen race in the New Testament is not based on physical descendants, but upon adoption of grace. Here's what Peter's saying. While those who surrender to the cornerstone, don't ever forget that he was rejected. He was despised. They spat on him. They made it, let him bleed. They have mocked him. He was rejected. And the very cornerstone that is rejected, God said, He is the one. If you believe in Him, He will protect you. He will guard you. He will guide you. He will take you to heaven. But if you reject Him, that stone is going to crush you. Peter's saying, those who reject Jesus Christ, one day they're going to be crushed by Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, how can loving God do this? Because He's given us every opportunity in the book. But when He's turned away, they will be crushed by that very stone that will receive and accept and protect those who believe in Him. A living precious stone is our first identity. Chosen race, our second identity. Our third identity, Peter said, is that we are royal priesthood. Every man, woman, and child who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, who walk with Him every day in obedience, they are a priest. Each of them is a priest in the sight of God. That's what he's saying here. Not just any priest, he said royal priesthood. Why? Because our high priest happened to also be the King of Kings. So what did the priest do in the Old Testament? He did three things. Number one, he offered sacrifice on behalf of others. Secondly, he interceded on behalf of others. And thirdly, the priest spoke of God to the people. And you and I do not need a priest today to intercede on our behalf. Why? Because we ourselves became priests when we have received the high priest into our lives as Savior and Lord. We have become priests. Here's the rule. It's very simple. The rule of the New Testament is, you accept the high priest into your life, you become a priest. You reject the high priest, you're not. It's that simple. And because we've accepted the high priest into our lives, you and I can come directly to him to offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, to give of our resources and thankfulness to God. You and I can come directly to him to pray and intercede on behalf of others because he is the high priest and we are priests. We are able and we have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to be witnesses for him, to speak on his behalf. We're not acceptable to God because of anything in us. Listen, lose that. If you ever have that thought, lose it. It's a lie. Living precious stones, chosen race, royal priesthood, fourthly, holy nation. You know, most nations of the world are all out for what they can get for themselves. I dare to say all of them. But everywhere I go in this world, in every nation that I see, I visit, I can find members of the holy nation. Oh yes, they may be Korean citizens, but they're members of the holy nation. They may be Brazilian citizens, but they are members of the holy nation. And Peter is saying that members of the holy nation are like their leader. They follow him, they obey him, they are loyal to him above everything else, that he comes first and foremost, everything else follow, everybody else takes second place. That is what it means to be a member of the holy nation. Living precious stones, chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation. Fifthly, he says, we are God's own possession. What is the most precious possession that you have? Think about it. Now I want you to think of how hard you work to protect it, whatever it is. I want you to think of how you care for that. I want you to think how you want to preserve it for the future and how important it is to you. And Peter is saying that those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who walk in obedience with him every day, are Jesus' most precious possessions. He treasures you. He values you. He guards you. All of this fact that God treasures you is because of the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of this should make you want to praise him day and night. All this should lead you to want to live for him and him alone. All this should make you want to serve him day and night. I read this week about this keen lover of books who understands the value of books, probably like very few people, happened to meet the most unbookish man in the world. And this unbookish man, he just threw away an old Bible that was packed away for generations in the attic of his ancestral home. And the unbookish man was talking about this Bible, and he said, well, you know, he said, I tried to read through it, but it's sort of somebody named Guten something printed it. And the man gasped. He said, Gutenberg? You've thrown away one of the most precious possessions? That book would bring hundreds of thousands of dollars in value even now. And the man really was not affected at all in any way. He just said, oh, no, 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 mine would not be worth a dime. There's some guy by the name of Martin Luther or something scribbled on it. That's how sometimes we value ourselves and value each other when God values us differently. He sees us as precious. And you know the problem with sin in the life of believers? I can tell you, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. If you find a carnal Christian who's living to themselves and is not walking with the Lord, it's because they do not understand their value in the eyes of God. I promise you. Living precious stones, chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's own possession. And finally, Peter said, we're basically tourists in this world. We are travelers. We are sojourners. Read it. Verses 11 and 12 of 1 Peter 2. You know, here's really the fact. The fact is that we all, believers or non-believers, we all basically travelers. I mean, we're all going to die. I mean, that's the fact of life. There's some want to deny it, but he's not going to keep them alive forever. They can deny all they want. But those who reject Jesus Christ, those who ignore Jesus Christ, those who are ashamed of Jesus Christ, they don't know that when they go home, their home is going to be an abysmal place. When the tour is over, the mess will begin. But for those who belong to Jesus, here's what Peter's saying. Those who have accepted Christ as their high priest, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, they know that they are travelers, that when the journey is over, they're going to go home, but their home is a palace. They're not afraid. They don't care. They're not concerned. They're not regretting because home is a great place. How does knowing and believing that we are tourists in this world and travelers in this world motivates us to live? Here's what Peter said. Look at verse 11. Beloved, I beseech you as aliens and exiles, abstain from self-indulgence that wages war against your souls. You know what? I am convinced that unbelievers are watching believers, and they're watching you like a hawk. They really are. They're watching us. They're watching us. And deep down, whether they verbalize it or not, deep down when they see your life that is different, a life that is honoring to God, a life that seeks the glory of God above all else, a life that is obedient to God, they look at you and they see the peace of God that passes understanding and say, I want that. And when they look to a carnal Christian who's living for themselves and just living like them anyway, and they said, well, what difference does it make for me to be a Christian? They're not much better than I am. Having lived in two different societies, really, I could say even easily three, because I was never really at home in my birthplace of Egypt or Australia or here. There's one thing the Lord taught me, that wherever I go, my citizenship is in heaven. As much as I love this country, I thank God every day that He brought me to this country. I thank God every day for still the freedom we have in this country, but my citizenship really is in heaven. And that's what Peter's saying. In fact, I read the story this week about how during World War II, there were battle-torn countries in Europe. They would see some people in the streets with an identifying initials on their shirts. It reads DP and stands for displaced persons. and a prominent sociologist have done study on this, huge study, followed so many of those people, and because most of these people were relocated in other countries, and some of them, he said, they quickly adopted the way of their new homeland, and soon their distinction, national traits and everything else has just melted away. But then there are others who refused to be swallowed and stayed different in their culture. And he said, you can always tell one from the other. But I'm saying this only to say, to repeat what Peter's saying here. He's saying for Christians, they are first and foremost citizens of heaven. Obey the laws of the land, as we will see in the next message. But there is a higher obedience, and it's to our King.
Thanks for listening to this message by Dr. Michael Youssef, Bible teacher on Leading the Way. The best way to order products or learn more about Dr. Youssef and the International Ministry of Leading the Way is through the web. Make it a point to go to leadingtheway.org and click around. You can also speak to a ministry representative when you call 866-626-4356. May God bless you as you walk with Him each day.